ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 36, Chapter entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Text 36. Tatraha Preta Bandunam Asrutya Paridevitam Ahatan Balako Bhutva Yama Swayam Upagata Tatraha Preta Bandunam Asrutya Paridevitam Ahatan Balako Bhutva Yama Swayam Upagata Tatraha Preta Bandunam Asrutya Paridevitam Ahatan Balako Bhutva Yama Swayam Upagata Mataji's, please. Tatra, there, ha, certainly, preta bandunam, of the friends and relatives of the dead king. Asrutya, hearing, paridevitam, the loud lamentation, so loud that it could be heard from the planet of Yamaraj. Aha said, Tan unto them, the lamenting queens. Balaka, a boy. Bhutva, becoming. Yama, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Swayam personally. Upagata after coming. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. While the queens were lamenting for the dead body of the king, the loud cries were heard even from the abode of Yamaraj. Assuming the body of a boy, Yamaraj personally approached the relatives of the dead body and advised them as follows. Purport. Sometimes the living entity is forced to give up his body and enter another one according to the judgment of Yamaraj. It is difficult, however, for the conditioned soul to enter another body unless the present dead body is annihilated through cremation or some other means. The living being has attachment for the present body and does not want to enter another, and thus in the interim he remains a ghost. If a living being who has already left his body has been pious, Yamaraj, just to give him relief, will give him another body. Since the living being in the body of the king had some attachment to his body, he was hovering as a ghost, and therefore Yamaraj, as a special consideration, approached the lamenting relatives to instruct them personally. Yamaraj approached them as a child, because a child is not restricted, but is granted admittance anywhere, even to the palace of a king. Besides this, the child was speaking philosophy. People are very much interested in hearing philosophy when it is spoken by a child. Om Ajnanatim Vrindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilita Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. So this is a very eye-opening chapter. It talks about the reality of life. Anything, because we are eternal, we are spiritual beings, and we are in a foreign environment, namely this material world, the soul does not like to go through these changes. The soul never dies, but the body dies. But the soul does not like to go through these changes. It's very painful. So anything to do with old age, disease and death is actually very scary. It's just like past week in the mornings, you know, I'm feeling like exhausted, just like no energy. So I went to our Sura Prabhu, asked him to check, you know, my blood sugar and blood pressure. So he did the reading, and jokingly he said, I don't know if it's joking, like some seriously also, said, you have like few years, better, you know, do what you have to do, like that. And even though he was saying this, kind of half jokingly, half seriously, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to hear it. Because the feeling naturally comes to mind is like, you know, it's not going to happen to me. Even though we hear so many devotees just around us passing away, like, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhu passed away. And B.B. Govinda Maharaj wrote a post how one of his disciples, she was actually taking a walk with other devotees in the garden, and she got attacked by some severe allergies and she passed away right there. Can you imagine? It's like so many things are going on, but you know, we hear and we are bewildered for a few moments, and then we think like, oh, you know, won't happen to me. What's the menu in Govinda's, you know? What's for dinner? What's for lunch? It's, you know, we are so confident about that. Of course, as a devotee, we want to live because we want to serve. A devotee always feels that he or she didn't serve enough. And we never feel that we are purified enough to go back to Krishna's planet. So in that sense, we want to live, we don't want to die. Like our Sridhar Maharaj, ISKCON Sridhar Maharaj, he was mentioning when he was passing away in 2004, he said his only regret is that he did not associate with devotees enough. Of course, he's taking a humble position, but for us, it's true. We don't associate with devotees enough. We don't serve devotees enough. So, this chapter explains so much about this reality. Just this one chapter, you know, if we actually read it carefully, it's amazing how just this one chapter explains everything a person need to know in order to make his life successful. It's like there used to be one brahmachari in the ashram from Argentina, and I met him in Radha Kund. And he said, "Oh, I'm actually with another camp now." I said, "What happened? You know, why you left ISKCON?" He said, "Oh, I felt like Prabhupada didn't give enough." I said, "Really?" It's like, I really feel like Prabhupada has given too much in a sense. Because just, you know, we have too much, then, you know, it's like we're overwhelmed with so much information is given. It's hard to understand in one lifetime and digest what Prabhupada is trying to say to us. So this is just this one chapter gives enough information how, you know, what's life all about and how to face it and how to perfect it. But because of ignorance, because people lack this knowledge, people are always bewildered, especially when someone dies. People have no idea how to react. It's like I went with Suhas Prabhu for a funeral. And, you know, they have the body there in the middle of the hall, and everybody comes and they don't know how to look, you know, they just have a sad face and they come and they don't know how to react near a dead body. Some cry, some just like quiet, some go sit down and they had this memorial. They were remembering all the things that this person did. And one person was actually remembering, saying, "Oh, uncle was actually like very fond of fishing. And he would go fishing. And he would actually mail me the fish. Sometime I would get this package that would be like soaking wet. And then I would open and there would be like this fish that he caught, fresh fish. Oh, what will I do without him now? Where will I go for my fish?" You know. So people have no idea what to remember, what not to remember, what to do. People are always confused. It's like one Mataji came to me, and you know, she said, "I want to." This was a few years ago when I was in the life membership. She said, "Oh, I actually want to give you a donation for sponsoring the feast." I said, "Wow, well, great. What's the occasion?" She said, "Oh, my father passed away." I said, "Oh, sorry to hear that." I said, "Tell me more, like what happened, you know?" She said, as he was dying, he actually remembered, he chanted Krishna's names. I said, "You know, she's giving a donation and such a wonderful thing for a devotee to hear that somebody passed away chanting the names of God, you know?" So I was so enthusiastic. I said, "Fantastic, amazing." So she said, "So what do you think happened to my dad?" I said, "It's explained in our books that whoever chants the names of God at the time of death, they will go back to the kingdom of God." And she said, her face became sour. She's like, "I'm reconsidering whether I should give you a donation or not." I said, "Did I say anything wrong?" She said, "Yes, I want my father to take birth in my womb. And I want to serve him that way, like I want my father to come back in my family. But you give me the bad news that he went back to the kingdom of God or whatever, you know, what is this?" So she was actually very disturbed. Finally she did give the donation, but I was thinking, my God, you know, how ignorant can you get? So in this chapter, we can see that Suyagya's wives, they're actually lamenting over his dead body. So much so, they were crying so loud that Yamaraj could hear. And Yamaraj, being Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans, he wanted to take this opportunity to preach, to enlighten them. See, the thing is, in this world, most people won't actually listen to anything valuable, any philosophy, unless there is a disaster. When things are going nice, you know, we hear Krishna Katha or we hear some philosophy, well, it's like an entertainment, you know. It's like what's the big deal, you know. Especially in Southern California. My Guru Maharaj is saying it's hard to make devotees in places like Southern California, in Hawaii, in Surfer's Paradise, in Australia. These are the worst places. You tell them about threefold miseries and people are like, what do you mean? You must be like depressed. You should be positive. So they preach back to you. So when things are going wrong, a devotee actually takes advantage of that and tries to present the philosophy. And when there's a catastrophe and there's nothing a person can do about it, then they actually hear. So Yamaraj wanted to present Krishna consciousness philosophy to these queens, taking advantage of this situation. And Yamaraj was thinking, if I were to appear in front of these queens as I am, as the Lord of Death, everybody will just flee, everybody will run away. So he said, what is the best way to present Krishna consciousness to them? So he appeared as this, as a child. And the purpose was to change the heart of these queens towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up the bodily conception. And Prabhupada writes in this purport how when a child speaks philosophy, everyone wants to hear. It's just like we did a drama and, you know, Narsingadev play was fantastic by Raghavananda Prabhu. And this little Lalita was acting. Everybody was like amazed to see the child speaking the philosophy. And Prabhupada would often quote our Shyam Sundar Prabhu's daughter Saraswati. You know, little Saraswati would go to any guest and she would say, do you know who is Krishna? And they say, no. She would say immediately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, that's enough. That's preaching. So Prabhupada was so proud. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this pastime of this boy called Gopal Guru. There was this little boy in Puri, and Mahaprabhu was residing in Puri. His name was Gopal. And one day he saw one devotee was getting ready to go to the, you know, toilet to respond to the nature. But he had his gamcha and his lota and everything. In one hand, he was holding on to his tongue because he was so attracted, he was so attached, he was so addicted to chanting the holy names, his tongue wouldn't stop chanting. But he was thinking, I'm going to the bathroom and I cannot chant Hare Krishna. This is very pure. Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna. How can I chant Krishna's names in the toilet? So he's holding on, but the tongue wouldn't stop. He's like, Hare Krishna, like this. And this little kid saw this and said, what are you doing? And the older devotee explained to him his situation. And this little boy said, you know what? It's explained by Mahaprabhu that, you know, nam nama kari bahuda nija sarva saktis tatra pita niyamita smaranena kala etadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi. There is no hard or fast rules for chanting. If you go on, just like the sunshine, wherever the sun shines, even in a filthy place, it actually purifies the place. The sun won't get contaminated. Similarly, by you, of course, we don't take the japa beads in the toilet, but by you chanting the holy names of Krishna anywhere, it's not the name is going to get contaminated. What about if you were to die while you're passing stool? The boy asked the older devotee, what's your destination? So you should stop this holding onto your tongue and should chant Hare Krishna like this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually happened to witness this exchange. And Mahaprabhu was actually very, very pleased with this little boy. So he said, from today, your name is not Gopal, your name is Gopal Guru. Because you became a guru and you instructed rightly this devotee how he should go about chanting Hare Krishna. And also in the, this is just an example of how when a little child is preaching, it's really impressive, it's really fascinating. There's also this pastime of Raghunandan is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Raghunandan, his father is this famous physician, Mukunda. Mukunda was actually a very exalted devotee. He was like an Ayurvedic doctor. And his son Raghunandan was also a very, very advanced devotee. Raghunandan, one day Mukunda was about to go out to do some treatment for somebody. He didn't have time to make the offering, so he asked Raghunandan, this little boy, that you go and offer Krishna bhoga today. And Raghunandan went in front of Krishna, put the plate down and said some prayers, mantras, and he was waiting for Krishna to eat. And Krishna was, you know, we all know Krishna can eat through his eyes. But Raghunandan was not satisfied. He started crying with so much devotion, and the deity spoke to him, said, what's up? Why are you crying? So you're not eating, my father will be upset. He said, no, I already ate. This is how I eat. I can eat through my eyes. He said, no, I don't understand this like lofty philosophy. You have to eat just like I know how people eat. So Krishna said, okay, I will eat. So Krishna ate the whole thing. And then he came back and the mother is saying, where is the prasad? He said, Krishna ate everything. And the mother is thinking, did he feed to some animals or did he eat it himself? What did he do, you know? So the father came home, Mukunda came home and he's asking for prasadam. The mother said, ask your son where is the prasadam. Because the father is starving, he said to Raghunandan, where is prasadam? He said, Krishna ate it. And the father knew this boy is very special, so he wanted to test him. So he gave him a big laddu, the round one. In South India we call the round one laddu, in ISKCON is like a flat one, but the round one. He gave it to the boy and said, go offer this. So this boy went to Krishna and did the prayers and waited for Krishna to... Again, Krishna wouldn't, you know, eat, so he started crying. So Krishna spoke, said, I already ate. He said, no, you have to eat again. Krishna said, I'm so full, I cannot eat anymore. No, at least you have to eat some. So Krishna took a bite. And this laddu is still preserved in Puri, in a temple. And Mukunda actually saw this exchange and he couldn't believe how exalted his son was in devotion. So understanding all this, one time Mukunda and Raghunandan, they actually went to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda, so Mukunda, are you the father of Raghunandan or Raghunandan is your father? I mean, Lord Chaitanya knows everything. All of a sudden he's asking this question. Nobody could understand. And all the devotees that were having darshan were bewildered, like, what is Mahaprabhu asking? Because obviously in age and everything. And Mukunda replied, actually my Lord, Raghunandan is my father and I'm his son. They were talking in a language that others couldn't understand. But it's explained that what Mukunda's meaning is, Raghunandan is actually more advanced in Krishna consciousness and Raghunandan is inspiring Mukunda in devotional life. Therefore, you know, Prabhupada writes that whoever inspires you in your devotional life, he's actually like our father in devotional life. And there are so many examples, like 5-year-old Prahlad was speaking. The father was asking, Hiranyakashipu was asking, you know, what did you learn in school, my son? You know, hoping, you know, Prahlad would say something childish. But then when Prahlad spoke, very amazing philosophy, of course, Hiranyakashipu didn't appreciate it. But he was actually amazed to hear, you know, such philosophy. So Yamaraj, in this pastime, disguised himself as a child and spoke very nice philosophy. He was asking the ladies, why are you crying? And the ladies are like, obviously our husband is dead. And Yamaraj explained to them, if you think your husband is his body, then you have nothing to cry about because he's right there in front of you. But if you think he's a spirit soul, he's eternal, then still you have nothing to cry about because, you know, he's living somewhere else, he's gone. And the ladies were crying and they said, now who will protect us? If he's eternal and he's gone somewhere, who will protect us? And this instance, Yamaraj actually explained to them that, you know, I'm only 5 years old, I've been through so many circumstances, but because I have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He's protecting me through all kinds of circumstances. Why you think He will not protect you? Krishna is talking about. And he gave the example of this Kulinga birds. Prabhupada actually also tells this story in a funny way, but in the Bhagavatam it says that there was a hunter, he actually spread a net, and this lady, Kulinga bird, she actually fell into the net. And seeing this, his wife is, you know, trapped in the hunter's net, this male Kulinga bird started crying very piteously, very loudly, just like the queens. The bird started crying, who will take care of my baby birds now? My wife is untimely taken away by this hunter. What's going to happen to me now? What's going to happen to my children? How will I go on without her? He was crying so loudly, and the hunter heard these screams and he shot an arrow and killed the male bird as well. So Yamaraj was explaining to them that life is too precious. There is no use in lamenting over something you cannot actually change. Every moment is so valuable, we cannot waste crying for things we don't have and things we have lost. So this way, Yamaraj as a child, he actually convinced the ladies in the philosophy that, you know, it's no use, you know, you crying over a dead body. Why don't you do something valuable? Why don't you do something, you know, productive? It's like this often, this topic comes up, especially when we're talking to, like, devotees, Indian devotees. Like, you know, what to do when somebody passes away? Generally, people have all kinds of ideas what to do when somebody passes away. You know, you go to somebody, you know, you hire a brahmana who claims to be brahmana but probably is working full time and, you know, he doesn't have any regulative principles and probably smokes and drinks. And you invite him home and you bargain, you know, he would ask you for like $100 to come home, and you would ask for like $60. And then he comes home and does some rituals and the chit-chat and they go away. This way, like, you know, nobody is benefited. The brahmana goes to hell, the departed soul goes to hell. You wasted your money and time. But the point mentioned in this chapter is that when something like this happens, when somebody passes away, of course, you know, every soft-hearted person, if it's a relative or friend, we're going to cry. But the main thing is to chant. Is to chant sincerely. That's the actual process in Kali Yuga. By chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely and seriously, we benefit. We become very dear to Krishna. And whoever we are chanting for, that soul also gets liberated or gets, you know, freedom from suffering, like we read in the purport. Sometimes, you know, people become ghosts. People become ghosts, and it's, you know, ghostly existence is the most painful. So when you're a devotee and you're chanting for somebody who was not a devotee, that's the best thing we can do for them. This way they move on to the next body, they don't hover around as a ghost. And also we, in the future chapters we'll read, how Hiranyakashipu, who is a demon, and who accumulated unlimited karma upon himself by doing all kinds of atrocities, but because his son, Prahlad, was a devotee, Hiranyakashipu was blessed by Narsingadev. Can you imagine? Krishna is so merciful, he could actually forgive somebody like Hiranyakashipu just because his devotee begged him, requested him. And in the chapter, Narsingadev actually promises, anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, he will actually deliver, you know, so many generations of the devotee's family. It's so relevant to us, these things. Because we're living in this world, we're going to get old, sick and die. All around our family members are growing old and dying. So we have actually a solution. The best solution is to become Krishna conscious. And by chanting Hare Krishna, no matter what happens to us, Krishna promises He protects our consciousness at the time of death. Like recently, there was a devotee in New Zealand. He had a, you know, chest pain. It was very severe, so he went to the hospital. And he could see there's like a heart attack coming, you know. Krishna gave him the intelligence. And he didn't have any devotees around him. So he begged the nurse. He said, you know what, I'm a Hare Krishna. And all my life I was dedicated to this, you know, Krishna consciousness movement. And the time of death is so important for every person. And I'm supposed to chant Hare Krishna and remember God at the time of death. But I don't know if I will be able to do in my present condition. It's like so getting worse and worse. So if something happened to me, can you kindly chant Hare Krishna mantra? And he was actually preaching to her, the nurse, about the value of life and the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra. And sure enough, he had a stroke. And the nurse chanted to him, and there was no devotees around him. And he passed away. And the nurse was telling, you know, the devotees that visited him, you know, they asked what happened. He said, this is what happened. This person had so much faith in, you know, Krishna, that he was requesting me to do this. So he had a successful departure. Krishna gave him intelligence. Usually when you go to the hospital, you don't want to talk about your beliefs. You're like uncomfortable. You think like these malechas won't understand you, you know. It's just rakshasas. But this person, Krishna gave him intelligence, you know. He used whatever was available. So this promise is always there. Krishna never promises he's going to protect our rotting bodies. But Krishna promises at the time of death he will surely protect the consciousness of one who is trying, making an attempt to serve him. Not only the devotee's consciousness, Prabhupada actually told Giriraj Maharaj that the parents of devotees will actually understand what their sons or daughters were up to in their last breath. Prabhupada said, in the last breath, they'll think, ah, this is what my son or daughter was doing. Oh, now I get it. And they, you know, get a nice destination like that. So we are so fortunate, even though we are in such a predicament, we have this kind of philosophy and association and teachings. We just have to take it seriously. The more we take it seriously, the more Krishna reciprocates. The more we apply it, you know, in a relaxed way, then, you know, it takes time for the process to work. Do we have any, yes, bro, can you give the mic to Adam, please? We have a special guest today with us. He's in the back. Honor is from our Bhakti house. So happy that he's here. Hope this was not too much philosophy for you. This is an advanced class, actually. In the evenings we have more like introductory classes, but I'm sure you benefit by listening. Thank you for coming.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for this amazing class. Prabhu, I have one question. You mentioned about going back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world, and I was just wondering what is the difference between this philosophy and the Christian philosophy, that we must, you know, believe in Lord Jesus and then we can go back to heaven? And I was wondering if this, because this is like, that's like a salvationist philosophy, and I was wondering what is the difference between this salvationist Christian philosophy and the Krishna conscious perspective? And is this a contamination that we have as devotees, as like a salvationist mood? Because we see Lord Chaitanya, he said that he was happy to take birth after birth to be engaged in Krishna service. Can you say something about that, please?
Yeah, Prabhupada said to take birth, to distribute his books birth after birth. That's actually a real devotee. But Prabhupada also said, first we have to aspire to, you know, become free from the material existence and go back to Godhead. Because to aspire to take birth here again and again and serve, that's actually a very advanced position. So we have to aspire to become free from the material existence first. And Prabhupada encouraged Christians to, you know, practice. But the problem is, as you know, as we know, that one thing is to believe in something, another thing is to follow and practice and experience. It's not like, you know, you say Jesus loves you, but if you don't love him back, he sends you to hell for eternity, you know. And you cruel to animals and, you know, you do whatever you want. There are no refraining from sinful activities, which was one of the main teachings of Christ. I think it was John the Baptist, he said, every time you sin, you're crucifying Christ. So there are heavy statements like that in the Bible, but very few people actually follow completely. So if somebody follows, then their beliefs and our beliefs are, in that sense, it's similar, yes. But the problem is, Prabhupada is always stressing that we should follow the regs, chant 16 rounds, serve, and then expect some results. Not just like, you know, I believe in Lord Chaitanya and then you do whatever you want. Does that make sense? Achyuta Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class as usual. It's salvationist and also non-salvationist, because we're not saying, this is not a post-data check. It's not that you're going to achieve something after death. You can achieve it right now. You surrender right now, and you can be back on the spiritual plane right now. So we're not saying that you have to die. And the other difference is, we're thinking that, well, we're not strong enough to follow this rule and that rule, but Jesus Christ is so compassionate, he'll save us anyway. So Prabhupada said no. He said, he may have that sentiment, but it's just like if a son commits murder and goes to before the judge and is sentenced to hang. If the father comes and says, no, he's my son, hang me instead. The judge is not going to say yes. He's going to hang him anyway. So you're responsible for everything you do, and you should clean up your act. That's our presentation. Clean up your act, and you can be delivered even right now.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. When you were mentioned that Siddhartha Maharaj, one of the things that he was lamenting was that he didn't take too much association from devotees. What does that mean? So how can we understand that in our practical Krishna consciousness?
I have no experience, very little experience myself. But it's just, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we have only three things: a devotee's devotional service and the holy names. So, you know, in our dealings we can see how impersonal we can be, you know. We are very impersonal with our dealings with other Vaishnavas. Every ashram has his dharma. So, you know, we have to follow. Like, for example, I notice more and more as Kali Yuga is progressing, not to pick on any ashram, but, you know, I used to do like 4 home programs in a week, but now it's been like, in a long time, maybe like 6 months since I was invited to do any programs. It's becoming less and less like people are interested in spirituality, namely like giving charity, feeding the devotees, associating with the devotees. Similarly, in the Brahmacharya ashram, we have our like shortcomings, like, you know, how much time we take to associate with each other and serve each other, and, you know, you just walk by and say Haribol, you know. Most is like you open the door for somebody. So this is not a sign of somebody is like really appreciating. There's so many examples, but we don't have time to get into it, but so we could improve like that, you know. Did you have something?
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. I have a question back to what you were speaking about earlier. But there's a person that I know that recently committed suicide. And he was a very, very good person in a lot of ways. And his family is devastated, of course. And I'm just curious about what we can do as Krishna conscious devotees to assist him in any way. Besides, you mentioned chanting, if there's anything specifically for that situation, or if anybody else has any ideas.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do. Yeah, say it. Hang on 1 sec.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the great class. So, it was my cousin, and he was someone that was very dear to my family. I grew up with him, a lot of respect. In fact, Emily hired him to watch over her house with the renters when we left. So he had a lot of respect, lots of love, beautiful person. Well, the other night, in a fight with his wife, he took a gun to his head, and he shot himself. And yesterday at 11 o'clock, my mom called me and let me know that he was dead. So what do you do for a soul like that? Especially someone that was so giving and loving, and it was extremely unexpected.
Just the fact you're having so much feelings for him, I'm sure he's blessed. But you could distribute prasadam to devotees, and Rabindranath Prabhu could do some sraddhas. There's a ceremony you could do for the departed soul. And, you know, those two things are really, really powerful. Isn't it Suhas Prabhu?
Yeah,
Prashadam.
Prabhupada says that if you become a pure devotee, 200 generations before have to become the liver. So, you know, as long as one maintains Krishna consciousness, he saves so many generations of his family.
For now, you can distribute prasadam and do a ceremony with Rabindranath Prabhu. Those things are really powerful. And obviously, you're praying for him, so these things, this is the best solution. Yes, Ganesh.
Well, the most powerful yajna sacrifice can be performed is the Harinam Sankirtan Yajna. So we can dedicate tonight's Harinam to his cousin. All devotees being mindful of that and in their heart dedicate the results of this wonderful sacrifice that we're going to perform today to his cousin. What's more powerful than that? All the demigods will show up. And you may not see them, but they're there. Lord Chaitanya is there. Very powerful. Very powerful.
Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.